Turning in the Word of God tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. It's a joy to be here. I'd like to thank Mr. Greer for his warm words of welcome to be here in Ballymena. And again, I'd like to thank the session and Mr. Greer for the opportunity to serve here in my fourth year. I count it a privilege and an honour to be able to help out in the work of God in my home congregation. And I trust that as we do that together, that the Lord will come, the Lord whom we seek, will suddenly come to his temple even this year and bless us not only here but across the denomination. Thank you for your prayers for our outreach. I was in Sandy Row this week past and the week before the Temple Patrick and Antrim and Ballyclare areas, and it went well. The outreach went well, and the final mission actually in Sandy Row is going on at the minute. Sandy Row is, as I'm sure many of you know, South Belfast, and yet there's one thing about Sandy Row people. You never have to convince them that they're a sinner. They know that, and they're so easy to talk to about their need of Christ, very open to listen to you in the doors and sit down and chat with you. So do continue to pray for the little work up there in Sandy Row, that the Lord will bless that work and raise up a great witness there for the glory of his name. The mission in Temple Patrick continues, I think, for another week, and do pray for that mission as well, the tent mission there at the roundabout, to continue to lift those works before the Lord. Reading tonight from 1 Samuel chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we're beginning to read together at verse number 1. Let us hear the word of God. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there's a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee?" Then said David to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly?" And Jonathan said unto David, "Come, let us go out into the field." And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father." Ending our reading there at verse number 13, and we know God will bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let's just unite our hearts in a moment's prayer. We're very aware of our great need of the help of God in this meeting. Let's just all still our hearts before the Lord. Let us all pray before him. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee in the stillness of this place that we can approach thee now upon the ground of redemption. And O God, we come to thee as the only true and living God. And we come through thy Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the Father upon the ground of redemption. We thank you for the precious blood which we've been singing about in that great old hymn that cleanses from all sin. And O Father, we come to thee at this juncture in the meeting. This juncture before we come now to preach the word. And Lord, I commit myself into thy hands and this entire meeting into the hands of God. And we pray, O God, that thou would come now and purge the very atmosphere in the blood of the Lamb. And for a season, close us in with thyself. May the voice of God alone be heard. And Lord, I cry to thee that thou would remember us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And for the glory of thy Son and the glory of none other, empty me now of anything that will hinder in this meeting. And wash me completely in atoning blood. And fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power. Extend the kingdom of God and of grace. Bind the devil and glorify the Lamb upon the throne. Hear prayer now, which we offer in Jesus' name, and which we plead upon the merits of his all-atoning blood. Amen. Amen. The Word of God has much to say about the steps which men take. Job, in Job chapter 14, spoke of God numbering his steps. He said, "For now thou numberest my steps." In the book of Psalms, David said in Psalm 37, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." In Proverbs 16, verse 9, we have Solomon saying, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Solomon also said in Proverbs 5, that the steps of the immoral, they take hold on hell. And David, in this portion before us, he speaks in verse number 3 that there is but a step between him and death. The Word of God says much about our steps. What's the setting here in 1 Samuel 20? Well, the setting is this. David here, he's talking about taking his final step. God's Word tells us this is what's going on here. David, the man of God, he fears that at any time, that at any moment in his life, he's about to take his final step. He fears that at any moment, he's about to die. David's life's in danger. That's the setting here. Saul, the king of Israel, he's envious of David. He's envious of David's triumph over the Philistines. Envious how the people reacted to it. And they love David. And Saul's envious because of the love that the people have for him. What an awful sin it is. Turn with me to the previous chapter, just to see how far it has gone here. It really all began when David slew Goliath. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David." There it is. There's the outworking of it. Look at verse 10 of the same chapter. "And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall, with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled, and escaped that night." Go over with me to 1 Samuel 23. Because David's driven into the wilderness. He's fleeing for his very life. And in 1 Samuel 23, it says in verse 14, "And David abode in the wilderness, in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." This is a time of much discouragement in the life of David. Should have been a happy time. God had chosen him, given him a work to do. And of course, when that happens, the devil surely react. David, over the next few chapters, he's hounded daily by Saul. Oh, David could handle it. Oh, he could handle it when the Philistine rose against him. But how does he handle it when the friend, Saul, the one that he only ever tried to help, the one that he only ever defended, now he rises against him. Oh, let it be a Philistine. David will gird on his sword. He'll go out against him. But how do we handle it when it's Saul? How does he handle it when it's Saul? Now that friend would prefer him if he weren't even around. The one he went out before Goliath for. The one he went into that valley of Elah. Israel's conquered, or they're facing this giant. Nobody can go out against him. David goes out. David goes out, and here he is, fleeing for his life. So I thought of this. It really struck me. In fact, it struck me at 2 o'clock this morning. Couldn't sleep last night and was thinking about it. David, here he was, already anointed by God to be king, and yet before the crown. What an onslaught. As I thought in that, a man or woman or a congregation that gets the blessing of God, it guarantees the venom of hell. It guarantees it. from the moment David was anointed, 1 Samuel 16, to the moment he gets to that crown, it's one onslaught. One onslaught. You get the blessing of heaven. You'll get the venom of hell. Oh, the awfulness of it. Drives a useful man into the wilderness. Drives him into the wilderness. And yet we know the story. God was preparing his servant. God was preparing his servant before the crown. After the anointing comes the battle. But anyway, that's not what I'm going to speak on. But that's the setting. That's the setting. Here's David. Realizing the situation he's in, going back to 1 Samuel 20, he meets with Jonathan, his best friend. He says to Jonathan in verse 3, and this is my text, the final words of it, "But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there's but a step between me and death." Just a step, he says, between me and death. And dear unsaved in this meeting, that's what I want to speak on just for a moment. Taking your last step. Taking your last step. The first thing I want to look at is this. The truth revealed about this last step. You see, to convince Jonathan of the danger that David feels he's in, David says, "But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there's but a step between me and death." David uses these two truths, that the Lord lives, that his soul lives, to convince Jonathan of the situation he's in. Jonathan, just as sure as God lives, Jonathan, just as sure as your soul lives, there's but a step between me and death. Now, dear unsaved or saved in this meeting, though our circumstances are different, I trust, than David's, yet nevertheless, the truth is the same. There is but a step between any of us in this congregation and the moment of our death. Truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between you and death. We see the brevity of life. We see it all like a vapor here. David, the man of God, with his closest friend, he says, "Jonathan, there's only a step. Just a step between me and death." Why is there this step? Why is there this final step? Well, go back with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, you know the story. Sin entered the world. God told our first parents, "In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And that day Adam did surely die, spiritually, cut off from God, cut off from the one he had previously spent communion with. But that day Adam began his journey to his final step. Sin had entered the world. Sin that's a transgression of the law. Sin that is that wicked thing that the Bible calls it. And the Bible says, and Paul said like this in Romans 5 verse 12, "As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." There's why, dear unsaved friend, in this meeting, you're going to take a final step. If the Lord tarries in his second coming, each one of us will take a final step because of sin. Because of sin, that heart problem. And it is a heart problem. As the Bible says, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, sin is not the absence of goodness in a life. Sin is the abiding presence of evil in a heart out of which men commit sinful actions. You will know the heart of man by where his eyes take him. You will know the heart of man by where his feet tread. Sin is that abiding presence of evil in our hearts. Our hearts. And because of sin, its offspring is death. Because of sin, man is a final step. Because of sin, that rebellion, that wickedness against God. God made a perfect world, deathless world, sinless world. But as by one man, sin entered into this world, death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Here's David. "Jonathan, truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there's but a step between me and death." Yes, that final step, because of sin. That's the truth revealed about this final step. But dear unsaved friend, what about the timing of your final step? What about the timing of your final step? Come back to 1 Samuel 20. "Truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. I want you to notice that that final step, which you will take and which I will take, the timing of it is not in our hands. The timing of our final step is in the hands of God. Though David felt that at any minute he could take this final step, yet he realizes in his own heart he doesn't know when he's going to take it. He feels it could happen at any minute. He's being hounded, but he doesn't know the exact moment of when it will come. And that's what we're like, you see. We're a people that, as people, we like things to fit into our plans. Well, it would sit better here, or it would sit better there. I'll do it that day. That would fit in better. And there's nothing wrong with that. But friend, your final step is not in your hands to fit in anywhere. Your final step in life is not to fit in with your plans. Your final step is to fit in with the plan of God. It's under the control of God. It's appointed unto men once to die. God sets the appointment. Ecclesiastes 3, a time to be born, a time to die. And dear unsaved, see this. The one that you have sinned against and are sinning against, the one that you reject right up to this moment in this meeting, friend, is the one that has set the time of your final step. The timing of it's in the hand of God. It's not our duty. It's not our duty to speculate when we will take our final step. But dear unsaved in this meeting, it is your duty to prepare to take it. And what's more, prepare to take it any moment from now. Any moment from now. Because that is what the Bible teaches. You'll take a final step. Truly as the Lord liveth, truly as thy soul liveth, the timing of it's in the hands of God. It's not your duty to speculate when you're going to take it. God's word says it's your duty to prepare to take it, and prepare to take it any moment from this moment, any moment from now. It's interesting when you think of the scriptures. Who was the first man to take this final step? Abel. He had no graveyards to remind him that men died. No man, no woman had ever been laid in Mother Earth. But he had the Word of God. The Word of God to his parents. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Abel, knowing that, prepared to take his final step. And it was a step that took him to glory. Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith Abel. By faith Abel. No cemeteries. Never had been a funeral. But he had the word of God, and it was enough. Dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. And Abel prepared to take his final step. He prepared to take it. Truly you'll take it. The timing of it in the hand of God. But thirdly, the taking of this last step, you're taking it once. Look with me again at the text. Truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. I want you to notice that this step is only taken once. Death is unnatural. Man was not made to die. Death is the separating of the body and soul. It's the departure of the soul to its eternal home. And friend, this step you only take once. I remember listening to Martin Lloyd-Jones one night on a CD, and he said this: there are certain things in life you can do again. Dying is not one of them. Dying is not one of them. And dear unsaved and friend in this meeting, you're going to die once. You need to die well. David realizes here before us in this portion that when he takes this final step, there are no more steps to be taken this side of eternity. And my dear friend, if you die the way you are, out of Christ, in your Christ rejection, there's no second chance. You've got to prepare to take your final step. You've got to get to Christ. You've got to, even as this meeting continues, lift your heart heavenward, call for mercy. Such is the gravity of the situation you're in. And this is not me speaking, this is the word of God. A step.
a moment, any moment from this moment, you'll take a final step. You'll take a final step. You're taking it once. And my dear friend, you're taking it alone. You're taking it alone. Look at the text again. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there's but a step between me and death. David's death was David's death. Jonathan's was Jonathan's. David and Jonathan, they did everything together. You know the story. They loved each other dearly. But David couldn't die for Jonathan. And Jonathan couldn't die for David. David's final step was his final step. And dear friend, in this meeting out of Christ, your final step is yours. And you're responsible before God to prepare to take it, young people. You're responsible to prepare to take the step. Think about it this way. What about your first step into this world? It brought you into a country. Brought you into a country of gospel preaching. Brought you into a country of hearing of the cross of our Lord Jesus, of hearing the gospel, maybe into a home where mommy or your father, and they set you down, and as best they could, they talked to you about your soul. You went to Sunday school, sent along by parents. Your first steps gave you such privileges. Such privileges, such hope there was that you'd be saved someday. Such hope there was that you'd be in heaven. Oh, friend, you grasp this. Though your first step in life gave you great privilege, you take your final step out of Christ, that final step will remove those privileges from you forever. It'll remove them forever. You're taking this step once. You need to die well. You're taking it alone. Yes, I grant some people are granted a deathbed. I know that. But my friend, though you have a deathbed, loved ones gathered round, you're going through the door of death on your own. They can see you to it. But my friend, the final step is yours. It's yours. And the Lord's saying to you tonight, truly you're taking it. The timing of it is in the hand of God. The one unsaved that you've rejected to this moment in your life, you're taking it once. You're taking it alone. And dear unsaved, that brings me to my final point. What you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ, depends whether your final step will be a travesty or it will be a triumph. You see, this wasn't to be the time of David's death. God spared him. As you know, I think the last time I preached here in the evening service, I spoke from 1 Kings 2. David on his best deathbed. But here's David in 1 Kings 2, as you know, and it was a step he had prepared to take. And for David, it was a triumph. He went into the valley. He went into the shadow of death. And it was a step that took him home to be with the Lord. But dear unsaved, dear people in this congregation, ask yourself now in the quietness of your heart, as you are before God, will my final step be a travesty? Or will it be a triumph? Oh, dear friend, maybe you say, well, I don't want it to be a travesty. Well, then, sinner, you need to get to Christ. What's the answer? Paul put it like this in Galatians 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, to rescue them, to deliver them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And my dear friend, listen, there He was, the Lord of glory, stepping into this scene of time, and every step that He took from the manger to Gethsemane, to Gabbatha, to Golgotha, He took it for sinners. Every step He took. Every step He took in this sin-cursed world, He took it to take His people to God. He loved the Lord with all His heart. He honored that law that you and I have broken time without number. You see, you need two things. You need a righteousness to cover your guilt. You need precious blood to cleanse you from all your sin. And every step that Jesus Christ took on this world, he took it for his people. He knew no sin. He didn't sin. He couldn't sin. He was the impeccable Christ. Every step he took it for sinners. And then, my friend, he stepped into death. And he put away sin. Put it away by the sacrifice of himself. Removed its sting. Why? Why did he do it? Sinner, ask yourself, what was the darkness of Calvary all about? Why the outpouring of the wrath of God? It was that our final step might take us to God. That's why. Remember what the angels sang at his birth, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. How could there ever be glory to God and peace for men but that the mediator had come? He had come to do all that sinners need, that our final step might take us to God. He's provided a righteousness. Every step he took, he provided it. Gave that obedience to the law. And then, my friend, he stepped into death, paid the penalty of the broken law. That you and I might go to, that you and I, our final step, might take us to God. Friend, Christ has done all you need. The law has been honored. Divine justice has been satisfied. Divine wrath has been propitiated. All things are now ready. But you must come. You've got to get to him. This book tells me of many sinners, different sinners, drunkards. Tells me of Manasseh, the wicked king of Israel. Tells me of Rahab the harlot. Tells me of Lydia, that woman the Lord whose heart the Lord opened there in Philippi. Tells me in the thief, moments from eternity. Paul, friend, grasp this. Where are they today? They're all in glory because they got to Christ. They found redemption through his blood. They found forgiveness for all their sins. But what's more, that's the point I want you to get. They got there before they took their final step. Though for the thief it was minutes, he got there. And my friend, you've got to see this truly as the Lord liveth. You're taking it. The timing of it's in the hand of God. You're taking it once. You're taking it alone. And depending on what you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ, your final step is either going to be a triumph or it's going to be a travesty. What about Abner? What about Abner? 2 Samuel 3. Abner's right at the gate of Hebron. Hebron's a city of refuge. It's a picture of Christ. And the Bible tells us that Abner was slain at that gate. A step from refuge. A step from it. Because Abner didn't think the end was near. There was nothing. If you look at the portion, we'll not take time to turn to it, but when you look at that portion, 2 Samuel 3, I think we will take time to turn to it. 2 Samuel 3. 2 Samuel 3. Look with me at verse 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. To speak with him quietly. And there smote him under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Sinner Abner was but a step from safety. He saw no danger. There was no malice in Joab's voice to tell him that the end was near. One step, he'd have been safe. Bible tells us he tarried here. And Abner died a step from refuge. Died a step from safety. And David, the man before us in 1 Samuel 20, is left to conduct a funeral. And look at the words. For at the end of verse 32 with me. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. Look at the verse 34. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. Abner, your hands weren't bound. Abner, your feet weren't in fetters. Abner, why did you just not step in? Why did you just not take the step, Abner? And oh, the mourning and the lamentation at this grave of Abner. One step from it. Maybe I speak to one tonight in this meeting. And for some time, the Lord's been dealing with your heart. And it could be said of you, you're just a step away. You're just a step from the kingdom. You're just a step from safety. A step from Christ. Well, dear unsaved, it's time to take the step. It's time to step out in the promise. It's time to get under the blood. Christ says, come now. Come now. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, what does the Lord say? They'll be white as snow. They'll be red as crimson. They'll be as wool. Sinner friend, you couldn't be in a better place tonight. And there's multitudes around you who know where you're at. We've been there. We've sat in meetings, troubled in our soul. God give us grace to come through. Sinner, it's time to step out in the promise. It's time to get under the blood. You're going to take it. Timing of it's in the hand of God. You're taking it once. You're taking it alone. Sinner, is it not time to get to Christ? It's not time to be saved. It's not time you were washed in the precious blood, forgiven. All you need, you find in Christ. If you come and save you, he'll save you now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All things are ready, sinner. It's time to take your step. It's time to come to Christ. Because if your final step doesn't take you to God, it takes you to eternal ruin. It's time to step out in the promise. It's time to come. It's time to be saved. Let us bow our hearts in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, take all that's been of thee in this meeting. Apply it to every heart. Let all that's been of me just fall to the ground, for it's worthless. But O God, by thy Spirit, speak on, we cry, and answer prayer for souls in this meeting. In Jesus' name. Amen.